Many people have heard me use this example. Imagine the scene. A circus comes to town, the circus, and all the circus hands are preparing the big top for the big show. As soon as the show gets ready to start, the big circus, there's a fire that breaks out in the tent. A circus performer, ready to start the show, dressed in full clown costume, sees what's happening, that a fire has broken out. And so he runs into the town in hopes to garner support. He starts to scream in the town square, "Fire, fire, fire." The civilians in the square look at him, hear the clowns shouting, and they just start laughing hysterically. They just start laughing because he's a clown and he's entertaining, right? So he screams all the more, "Fire, fire," starts flailing his arms about, "Fire," in an effort to get their attention, and they just laugh louder. So he screams louder, "Fire, fire," and they just grow more hysterical because they just know he's entertaining. He's entertaining. Meanwhile, the whole circus burns down, burns to the ground. And the next day, once the truth comes out that the circus had burnt down, all the townspeople say to the poor clown, "Clown, we completely misunderstood what you were saying. You said all the right things. We understood all the words you were saying. What you were saying was exactly what we needed to hear. But you were just wearing the wrong clothes. So because you were wearing the wrong clothes, we just completely missed your message. Keep this in mind." In today's gospel, Jesus meets the famous woman at the well. And I am convinced that each one of us here can see ourselves in the story somewhere. We can all, in a sense, be the woman at the well in some way. We know that as a Samaritan woman, she was an outcast from the Jews. Samaritans did not talk to Jews, period. And we read that in the gospel. We also know that since she was coming to the well at the heat of the noonday sun, when nobody else would possibly be there, and coming by herself, she was even an outcast among her own fellow townsmen in Samaria. This woman, then, was the last character that we would ever expect to be sent to preach the gospel of Jesus. But this is exactly what Jesus does, sends her to preach. So let us ask ourselves, how often have we perhaps felt like the outsiders, felt like those who are marginalized? Maybe the last people in the world equipped to actually share the faith. Jesus, in a series of questions and responses, asks her for a drink. Then he calls her to go get her husband. And he calls her to act in service of him. And yet throughout the remainder of the entire dialogue, Jesus calls her to himself. And then she pushes back. No. She pushes back. Then he calls her more questions. She pushes back. No, not me. He calls again. She pushes back. So let us ask ourselves, how often have we been afraid, pushed back when we hear that call to change? After being called by Jesus as the woman was, how often have we been tempted to simply stay in what would be a very easy mediocrity? We distract ourselves or distance ourselves with excuses. "Oh, sir, you don't even have a bucket. Sir, the water is deep. How are you going to draw?" Or even more, she gives theological excuses when it just gets too close for comfort. "You people worship on this mountain, but we worship on that mountain, yada, yada, yada." How often have we heard Jesus call to go to our own family and friends and bring them the message of salvation in Jesus, yet we are afraid. We pull back. We even rationalize our inaction through some type of long-winded religious reasoning. Yet, once the woman leaves her bucket and returns to her hometown, she who was the least likely to be a disciple of a Jewish Messiah, she who was the least likely to put up any advertisement for Jesus, preaches to a people who were themselves the least likely to ever receive it. And they hear it. They listen. They respond. They believe. And they themselves come to Jesus. The Samaritans followed because of her words, says the gospel. They themselves even invite Jesus to stay with them. An amazing turn of events. They say, "We no longer believe because of your words," they say to the woman, "for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." I believe for all of us, when we encounter Jesus, he never leaves us in our same old, comfortable mediocrity. But he calls us out of complacency, even if it is uncomfortable. He calls us always to go deeper. And now let us be honest with ourselves. Isn't it true that so often it's actually more comfortable to feel like we're on the outside? It's actually more comfortable to be mediocre, marginalized. After all, if we just accept our mediocrity, accept our status as outsiders, we're not forced to be any different today than we were yesterday. We have a very low standard by which we might even judge our own ability to respond to Jesus' call. But brothers and sisters, no one here in this room, no one here is called to be a mediocre Catholic. No one is called to be the same old nominal Christian. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to our own people who can hear us, who will hear us and be saved. There is in the church today a very subtle type of clericalism pervades the entire church. But it is not a clericalism that we might expect. It has nothing to do with priestly privilege or priestly entitlement or anything like that. Rather, it is a clericalism that affects everyone else. It's the clericalism that says, "I don't have to spread my Catholic faith out in the world, because that is something for the priests to do. I don't have to know my faith. I don't have to study my faith. I don't have to pray my faith or spread my faith, because that's the job. That's the job for the clerics. And after all, I'm just a lay person. I'm just a lay person." This is complete nonsense. I, Father Brad, I am a priest. And as a cleric, bishops, priests, deacons, clerics have an essential role to play in the church. And the church suffers if we don't play that role. But there are certain situations in the world where people just do not hear us. Not because we're saying the wrong things, but just because we're wearing the wrong clothes. I can go into the world, and just like the clown in the circus, I can say everything right. People can hear all my words and understand them. I can say exactly what people need to hear, but the message is lost. The message is lost because I'm simply wearing the wrong clothes. I'm preaching a gospel to a world that just thinks I'm entertaining. But Jesus has given the world and his church an army of people who are wearing the right clothes. That is all the baptized lay people, all the laity. Jesus has given to the world a people who can speak for him, witness to him, and be heard. And be heard. It's all the baptized. That's the amazing dignity that all of you have as baptized Christians. The world is starving for your message. Our culture is very confused and very hurting right now. So many of our sons, daughters, spouses, parents don't even know what they lack. So often they won't hear it from me, from a bishop, but they will hear it from you. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit given to you at your baptism, Jesus is just like the woman at the well, calling you to go to your hometown. Call your family, call your friends, and then without fear to go and tell them about the one you have met. How do we do this? Well, without fear, we simply tell our coworkers and friends that we are Catholic. Simply don't hide it under a rug. Without fear, we just tell our friends that we are observing Sunday as a holy day. We just show our friends and coworkers that we're observing the holy season of Lent. Of course, we don't want to advertise our penances, but we don't want to hide our faith either. We simply tell our family members who are suffering and in need and lonely that Jesus Christ loves them and has saved them, and we do it without fear. Every baptized soul here is called, just like the woman at the well, to spread the good news of Jesus in the world. And our church is suffering if we don't play that role. So as we approach the great feast, the resurrection of our Lord, let us have courage. The Holy Spirit is with us. And let us preach to a world that needs it. Amen.